Welcome back to Self-Love 365, the daily podcast where we explore the practice and concepts of self-love. I'm your host, Lily, and this is day 23. There's no shame in my self-love game. Hello, friends. Welcome to day 23. Take a breath. It's Tuesday. We are talking about self-love barriers this week. And because of that, our weekly mantra is, I'm committed to loving myself. Because we need to be stubborn to overcome all of these barriers. Yesterday we talked about shallow culture, and today we're talking about its twin, shame culture. And really, I have to say, even though this podcast is for everyone, this issue in particular does seem more grounded in my experience of being a woman and growing up a girl. That's not to say it's not applicable to everyone. I'm sure it is. And maybe as I talk, I will expand that definition and that feeling. But I personally grew up feeling as though I wasn't the person in charge of my own body, and was given constant messages that bodies were dangerous. Any feelings coming out of your body were dangerous, and that they needed to be managed. And I was given the dual message that I was both not in control and also responsible for the urges of my body. So you can see how that would be very confusing to a young child and demoralizing and shameful. And when we as a culture tell children that their bodies do dangerous things, we are shaming them for the sole fact that they're human. I've never understood that. I don't understand why we continue to perpetuate some of these shaming mechanisms. And, I mean, don't get me wrong. I understand from a patriarchal standpoint that this works in the favor of all those who are in authority. Because for there to be hierarchy, everyone under the top level has to be controlled in various ways. So I get that. What I don't get is why we haven't evolved away from shame culture. Because bodies are beautiful. Expression is beautiful. Embodiment is beautiful. And being connected to your own body is beautiful. But a shame culture results in, the biggest two things it results in are disconnect from really everything, because it's a retreat, and disembodiment. It wasn't really until, you know, my early 40s when I started hanging out with women who also were living intentionally and mindfully and loving themselves, that a different way of experiencing my body became an option. And now I'm so fortunate. I have so many friends who are embodied, who believe in listening to their bodies and expressing what their body's feeling. It's such a powerful aspect of my life, and yet another way in which having close friends that I trust and enjoy spending time with has completely shifted my worldview. So in that way, one of the antidotes for shame in my life has been witnessing embodiment. One time when I was still publishing the magazine and we had just launched an online shop, so we had some products and we had just started selling them at little markets here and there, and we went to a holiday market, and I forget where it was at this time, but it was in a mall, and sort of with a new crew of people that I didn't really know, I met someone there, and she invited me to come as a vendor to a class that she was teaching, a dance class. And so we drove out, I believe it was Bridgeport, but I'm not sure, but me and my friend who often helps me at markets, we drove out and we ended up setting up a table and vending, and really, which vending often involves sitting and watching other people, at a dance class that was, I don't even know the style because that's how not connected to dance I am, but, and also how white I am, but a dance class that was, if nothing else, very sexy and just totally embodied, you know, women twerking and going from full height all the way down to the floor in a matter of seconds. Just women for the purpose, dancing for the purpose of dancing and dancing for the purpose of expressing. And they were all, every single one of them, so embodied, and I sat there in awe the entire time. And when I left, I didn't feel weird or awkward. I felt like so grateful that this woman had invited me, and I had been allowed to witness this pure expression of, really, it was self-love, right? They loved themselves so much. They were so embodied. And there was no shame in the culture that they were a part of in expressing their love in this way. So that was amazing. So just witnessing embodiment is a great antidote to a culture that shames us for even having bodies in the first place. And in the same way, I feel the same gratitude when I witness children running through a sprinkler or at the beach. And it's not that they're not self-aware. It's that they don't have the self-criticism that adults have surrounding their bodies. So they're not trying to prove anyone wrong. They're not trying to either buy into a system of a certain type of body looks good or rebel against that system. They just are who they are, and they're having fun, and they're fully in their bodies. So that is another time when I realize, yes, I am in the presence of full embodiment, and it is magical. But another antidote that I practice to combat shame culture is consent. And consent to me is the antidote to shame, because consent is the bridge that I think these misguided adults were trying, you know, they were trying to dispense a certain kind of information to protect yourself, basically, which in itself is not a bad piece of advice, right? But they didn't have the bridge with which to dispense that information. They didn't have a vehicle that was empowering. So they taught shame. Consent, in my mind, is the vehicle we can teach everyone, children and adults alike, girls and boys, anyone who doesn't see themselves in any of those categories. Everyone can benefit from consent. The person asking for consent benefits, and the person giving consent benefits. I've witnessed this in my own household, where there's a lot of testosterone going on, and people occasionally haul off and hit someone on the head without checking in first, if that's okay. Where there's just a lot of emotions that come out bodily, and which isn't something I experienced as a child growing up. I don't know if that's because I wasn't full of testosterone or was because I would have felt shame over feeling embodied, but either way, this is all new to me. And I figured out pretty early on after having the second that consent needed to be practiced for everyone's safety, but also for the comfort of our household members. We needed to all trust each other, right? And we started practicing consent when my kids were very young, when they were, you know, 3 and 8. And they were encouraged to adopt a safe word when they wrestle with each other. And my children were encouraged to ask me before they sat on my lap. And I have to ask them, you know, when I'm tucking them in, do they want to kiss goodnight? Or when I get back from being gone, do they want a hug? And for the most part, we all do a really good job of practicing consent. It was certainly, there was a learning curve. And it just brought everything out into the open. There was no more, oh, I wish that hadn't happened, or is this going to go too far? There was no more uncertainty. And there was certainly it's not a method of judgment or shame. It's just a method of equality, really, of everyone being on the same page before touching happens. And I thought, wow, you know, this is genius. I wish I had been taught this when I was a kid, instead of being forced to hug strangers, but also told that strangers are dangerous. Someone would have asked me if I wanted a hug, and I would have said no. His chances are I didn't. I don't see any downside to consent. Consent is fun. It doesn't take out the spontaneity. It doesn't take out the meaningfulness of human touch. It doesn't take away the emotions you're feeling, whether it's love or joy or orneriness. All it does is make sure both parties feel comfortable with each other in that moment, which means there's no shame. So it's interesting now to think about, within the framework of a self-love practice, how consent works. And I will say that we're going to, I think, spend an entire week about self-love that's physical. So stay tuned. But what I'll say now is that, just like any other loving relationship, there's no shame in self-love. And self-love is also an opportunity to combat shame around the body. And consent can be the vehicle with which we do that. So, for example, I'm feeling like I need a massage. I need to be relaxed through touch, okay? And for whatever reason, I don't want to book one. I don't want to ask my husband to do it that night. I'm willing to do this for myself. So just a quick check-in, right? That's consent. A quick check-in, you know. Is this what you really want, Lily? Yes, it is. Are you comfortable massaging yourself, Lily? Yes, I am. Get out the lotion, and I massage my legs. That is one example of the way consent can work to combat shame in a self-love relationship. And I think you could probably pretty easily stretch your imagination to consider how powerful that could be in other, regarding other forms of touch in a self-loving relationship, which we're going to dig into on another date. But for today and this week, your action item to combat shame culture is to practice consent, and which is simply checking in with yourself when you're touching yourself, when you're touching your body in any way. Seems simple, but it will take practice. Okay, I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Self Love 365. And thanks to Henry Liu for our original music and Jesse Lieber at Little Legends Design for our custom graphics. Also, many thanks to our Twitter followers at 365_self and our readers at 365daysofselflove.com.